A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, "I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." "I am the God of your fathers," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, "I have no witness the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers, so I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptian and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses said to God, "But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses. "Thus shall you say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations.'" The word of the Lord. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses, into the cloud, in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happen as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did and suffered death by the destroyer. These things happen to them as an example, and they have written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some people told Jesus about the Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do not think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans. By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but I have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, then cut it. You can cut it down. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is taken from the first reading that we heard proclaimed. God replied, "I am who am." What's in a name? Some years ago, I attended a conference, and the presenter, who is not from this area, from Wisconsin, had flown into Milwaukee to give a presentation. And after she got through what she needed to do there, she went to get her rental car. And once she got that secured, she asked the person behind the desk, she said, "How do I get to Mukwango?" And the man looked at her with a funny look and said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Well, she said, "I'm supposed to drive there to this town called Mukwango." He said, "I've never heard of Mukwango, Wisconsin." Well, she said, "It's right here." So he looked at it and said, "Oh, it's Mukwanago, not Mukwango." And she said, "Thank God I was not going to Okeechobee," because it was bad enough to try to go to Mukwango. But if you ever notice, many of our places are named after an occasion or event or try to capture what is in that area. And not only that, there are some civilizations that do not name their children right away because they want to see what the characteristics are of that child. We get that when John the Baptist was born, and also Jesus, was 8 days after the child was born that you finally gave the name. But granted, those names were given by God to give. Even in our own community, we have names that are describe something, such, for instance, the Mississippi River. In that Native American language, for us, it means the father of waters. Our own town, Prairie du Chien, is named for Prairie of the Dog. When I told my relatives in France that I was moving from La Crosse to Prairie du Chien, they were trying to figure out the Prairie of the Dog. They understood that, but I had to explain to them it was named after a chief of the tribe here in this area. So the names that are given describe and give us an indication of the person itself or the location. And in today's gospel, our first reading, we hear first of all two names. First of all, Moses, and then the name that God gives. Let's take Moses first as we look at that first reading. This passage was taken from the book of Exodus, which we call the call of Moses. The name Moses itself means, "I drew him from the water." A Levite woman had given birth to Moses, but she was afraid that he might be taken and might be killed. So she put him in a basket and put him in the river. Pharaoh's daughter saw him and drew him out of the water and gave him the name Moses. And we heard as Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law's sheep, he saw something very unusual happen. There was a bush that was being on fire but not consumed. That had to catch his attention. Now, last Sunday I mentioned that it is very prevalent in the Old Testament. Whenever you hear fire, you hear of the presence of God. And so as Moses approached, the voice said, "Come no nearer, remove your sandals from your feet, you are entering holy ground." Moses probably understood that God was indeed present and what God was revealing to him, what he wanted him to do. He wanted to have Moses be the leader to take his people, God's people, the Israelites, out of slavery to the promised land. We find that there's some hesitancy in Moses. He probably realized he was not a very strong leader. So he finally asked the question. He said, "When I go to Pharaoh, who am I supposed to say is told me to release the people?" And that's when God uttered, "I am who am." And then a little later he says, "You tell the Israelites, I am sent me to you." Now, initially, that doesn't really maybe tell us a whole lot, but in actuality, it does. Let's take the first one first. I am who am. It first of all describes that God is a singular personal being. Not like the Egyptians or the Greeks or the Romans who had many gods. Gods of occasions, gods of things around us. But God is God of all. God is one singular God. Secondly, it indicates that God always was, is, and will be. Whenever you try to describe and to explain to children that God is creator of all things, usually the first question they ask is this: well, who made God? Well, nobody did. There always has to be the being that always existed, and that is for us God. So it was God who created all things. And lastly, then, God was not made by any human beings, but rather God had made humanity and all things. But then he tells Moses, then you will do this. You will go to the Israelites and tell them, I am sent me to you. Tell them that I indeed have heard their cry. I am the Lord their God. I will take care of them. I will lead them out of slavery to freedom. And also is the one who will set his people free. Those two things, I am who am, and I am sent me to you, hopefully told Moses more about God. We too know God, and we will always know more about God, and there's always much more to know. But perhaps in the Lenten season, what we should also focus in on is God's mercy. He's all-powerful, and yet he is all-merciful. And as we heard in our gospel passage for today, the parable that Jesus taught, he said the owner of the orchard was willing, ready to cut down that tree. He thought he gave it enough time. But it was the gardener who said, be patient, let me try one more time. What the parable is trying to describe is God's mercy. God could have given up on us a long time ago, but he doesn't. So this Lenten season, I hope that you include of God's tremendous mercy and our need to come back to the Lord our God with all our hearts. God is there, and God is all-present and all-loving, but he also, too, is the one who is filled with compassion and mercy.